It is an absolutely beautiful day. It's supposed to be 80 degrees today. Sunny here in northern Vermont. Beats the 96 we had last week. Praise God. I talked this morning about surprise. The picture on the front of the bulletin is a young man with his ears hanging out and his mouth hanging open. That shocked look. God surprises us in many ways. And it's not always, pleasant surprise. Everything is great. Because last week when Meg fell out on the floor, that was a surprise. Praise God, she's doing well. Praise God that He's the one who has her engraved in the palm of His hands. But we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity just to visit with and to minister to, and I remembered his name a few minutes. Wayne, thank you. Like Walt? Not Walt. No, Wayne. It was great to be able to spend time with them and share with them. And they were so grateful. Not only that the church and when Meg fell out into the aisle, not only that the church gathered around her and praying for her and laying on of hands, but also that Deb and I stopped over later. She said he called his wife. She was in the trailer. She said, "Honey, we're getting a pastoral call." They've been pastors since 1984. Says as a pastor, nobody comes to visit the pastor to pray for the pastor. Praise God. It was wonderful to be able to be a blessing. It started with a surprise. It started with an encounter. It started with something happening that we weren't expecting. So, sometimes God lets us know what's coming and sometimes He doesn't. But when He does, but whether He does let us know in advance or not, He has told us in His Word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when things seem to be falling apart, God's right there. Has somebody who's been in situations where things seem to be falling apart? Where you seem to be all alone? Can't communicate with anybody? Can't seem to get any answers? God is still right there. We'll start in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. And the light will bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Simeon in the temple, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Christ, until he'd seen the salvation of the Lord. Now I want you to keep in mind that for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're known as the 400 silent years. God wasn't talking to people. God wasn't revealing things. Or at least not that was recorded. In fact, prophecies of Jesus go back all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Yet somehow, Simeon, who was, it says, a just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and had the Holy Spirit upon him. That's what it says in verse 25. I don't think he was the first one or the only one who was just and devout, seeking the face of the Lord, waiting for God to send it. God to send his salvation, waiting for God to do what he promised to do. So as it tells us in Hebrews 11, there were many people that died not having received the promise, but still believing. We get surprised sometimes when God does what he says he's going to do. But we also get surprised sometimes when God doesn't do what we're expecting him to do. Right? We get surprised in life. God doesn't work on our timetable. Who knows that? But God's timetable is always right. Abram at the time, when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees and told to go to a land that I will send you, and in your seed will all the earth be blessed, was 75 years old when God called him out and sent him to a new land and said he was going to have a son. Because in your seed will all the nations of the world be blessed means you've got to have a child to do that. 25 years later, okay, how come God hadn't done what I thought he was going to do? Kind of like the same way Jesus, when people came to him and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. And he said, oh, this sickness is not unto death. And waited two more days before he took the journey that took, when he got there, Lazarus was dead 4 days. But the sickness is not unto death. Just death might be a stop along the way, but that's not where it's going to end. God does things that sometimes seem completely beyond anything we can imagine. Scripture addresses that as well. It says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for them who love him. Praise God. So we can trust God to be God. We can trust God to show himself mighty, even when the circumstances don't seem to have any way of doing that. Mary and Martha, I guarantee you, thought it was, in fact, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha says, oh, I know he'll rise in the resurrection in the last days. Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. And called him out. Raised him from the dead. When Mary came to the tomb and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, knowing he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, still took time in that moment to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to comfort those who were brokenhearted. Even knowing what was going to happen, he took the time. So we will go through things in this life. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 and 2, says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw away when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. Remember the Lord no matter what circumstances are going on. But he says, remember the Lord in the days of your youth before you get tired and weary of the things you have to go through. Before the difficult days come. If the word says, remember the Lord before the difficult days come, being a semantics guy, that tells me difficult days will come. Guess what? It shouldn't be a surprise when difficult times come. But we should still be remembering the Lord no matter what's going on. Lord, the situation is horrible. How could you let this happen? Well, if God says he causes all things to work together for good to them who love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose, that even the horrible things we go through end up being part of molding us into what God wants us to be. If I had not spent 72 days in a foreign jail being falsely accused, I would not first off have known that when you can't rely on anyone but God, God is all you need to, you learn God is all you need to rely on. I also would not have gone through the thing that set me up so that I was so angry with my ex-wife that God had to illustrate the scripture that says, unless you forgive others your trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive yours. And that whole process of crying out to the Lord to work the forgiveness in my heart toward her, that ended up being a light to my wife who was dealing with things with her family. She watched what God did in me and said, if God can work it in him, she can work it in me. And build faith. The things we go through because they are to build the body of Christ, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. But if we never go through anything, how can we ever grow? So the things that seem so horrific, the things that seem so horrible, God is still God in the midst of it. We should not be surprised or discouraged by the things that happen because it's not the end of the story. God is still at work. Farther down, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 6 and 7. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered in the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return as it was, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. So all of these things, this golden bowl is broken, the pitcher shattered at the fountain, the silver cord loose, the wheel broken at the well, are all metaphors for until we shed this body. Remember the Lord while we have breath in us, because God is still at work. The Hebrew saying is, yesh chaim, yesh tikva. As long as there is life, there is hope. Praise God, He is not done with us until we've drawn our last breath. He is not finished with us until He has taken us to be with Him in glory. So while we are here, while it is called today, while we have opportunity, let's praise God. While we have opportunity, let's encourage one another. Let's strengthen one another, because the surprises are going to come. We read that a minute ago. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Difficult times come on all the earth. Every last one of us go through difficult things. If we are prepared to trust God in our heart, then we can encourage other people. But if we're not trusting God for ourselves, how in the world can we lift somebody else up? We don't walk through this life for ourselves. We walk through this life to encourage other people to be ambassadors for Christ, to be an ambassador for God in this world around us, to be salt and light, to be a witness and a testimony to everyone of who God is and the fact that He has not forsaken us. We have hope because He still has us engraved in the palm of His hands. He is still at work in our hearts and in our lives. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Weird things are going on. No, don't think it strange. But rejoice in the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. As we walk through it, as we go through it, and the glory of God gets revealed, we get to be partakers of that. As we are partakers in His suffering, we are partakers in His glory. As we are examples of the grace of God in this world, we have to be examples not only in good times and in bad times. If we're only examples of God's grace in good times, we're not really examples of God's grace. Think about that. Jesus, getting ready to be betrayed, called Judas friend, loved him, cared for him, washed his feet, knowing what was coming, because he loved. He was showing God's love, even in the midst of opposition, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of betrayal. Still loved him. Knew he was going to lose him, but still tried reaching out, loving him, being that light, being that witness. We have to be lights and witnesses, encouragement, even to people who aren't going to turn. First off, we don't know if they're going to turn to seek the Lord or not. We don't have that insight. Jesus did. But even with that insight, he was still reaching out, even to Judas. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have to be careful not to try and sweet talk or trick somebody into believing, because it's not going to matter. A person who's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You ever heard that saying? You know, you try to talk somebody around a point, and it does no good. I remember, I don't know, I was a teen maybe, or maybe almost a teen, and I was trying to convince somebody I had 11 fingers. Y'all ever seen this? I have 11 fingers. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 is 11. Do the math. When you can trick, you can use words to try to trick a point, but the power of God working in us is indisputable. The power of God working through us will make an impact in people's lives that words cannot do. That's what Paul told the Corinthians here. I didn't come using fancy words. I came demonstrating who God is in my life. I came in meekness and weakness and in much trembling. But I pointed the way to a holy God. I pointed the way to a healer, a deliverer who sets people free. That's what I did. And then in 1 Corinthians, remember in 1 Corinthians, he's rebuking the church because y'all got some things messed up. That real New English translation, the shorthand. Y'all have got a lot of things messed up, but let me remind you who God is. Let me remind you that He's called us to holiness. He's called us to righteousness. He's called us to life. He's called us to turn away from such things. It says, I don't remember if it's in one of the books of Corinthians, but it says, as such were some of you. Yeah. All this wickedness, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are justified, but you are sanctified, you are justified by the Holy Spirit of God. Let God change us. Things happen in this world. Difficulties arise. People fall out in the middle of church. You get in a car accident. All these things happen. You may lose a job. I've been fired before. No fun. Whatever happens, though, God is still God. God is still with us, and God is still at work. And if we trust God, if we rely upon God, if we seek His face, if we draw near to Him, no matter what our circumstances are, we display to the world around us that we believe in a God who still is in control. He still loves us, and He is still at work. When the surprises come, and the surprises will come, when the difficulties come, and they will come, know that God is still God. God is still the one who directs our steps. God is still the one who opens doors that no one can close and closes doors that no one can open. That we can still trust and rely upon Him. Final passage of Scripture, Job 38, beginning with verse 1. You know the story of Job, and you know that from Job about 3 on till 38, you've got Job's good friends telling him he needs to quit sinning and confess and get it over with. And Job saying, I haven't done anything. God just won't answer me. I've done everything right. It's God's fault. He gets there. He goes through a lot. Job went through a lot. But he gets to that point. And finally in Job 38, beginning with verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens knowledge or darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have an understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it that To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? God goes on for 3 chapters saying, where were you? Where were you when I did this? Do you know where I hide? Do you know where I keep the storehouses of snow? Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Do you know where I set the boundaries for the ocean that it will not pass it? And he lays out all of these things. And Job's answer comes finally. And he says, before I heard of you by the hearing of your ear, but now my eyes have seen you. And I am undone because I dared speak out. He recognized that God was God. Even when he didn't understand what was going on, God is still God. Even when we don't understand what's going on, even when we are surprised by our circumstances, even when we're surprised by situations we encounter, even when we're surprised by just everything going on around us, God is still God. He is still worthy of praise. And he still loves us. His nature has not changed. He is still a God we can rely upon, we can trust, we can believe in. And we can serve. And he's called us to do that, to show love and life to the people around us. Father, we thank you. You are right and righteous in all of your ways, Lord. You are worthy of praise in every circumstance and in every situation. We lift you up and exalt you, Lord, knowing that you are God over all. Father, we recognize that even when we're surprised by the things that go on around us, You are not surprised. You have seen the end from the beginning and have already promised to cause all things to work together for good to them who love You, to them who are the called according to Your purpose. You have not left us. You have not abandoned us. You have not forgotten about us. You have us in the palm of Your hands. You inhabit the praises of Your people. You direct our steps. You lead us and guide us. And Father, we give praise and thanks for that, knowing that You alone are worthy of praise. Father, we give glory. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. We lift You up and exalt Your holy name, giving praise and honor and thanks, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for Your healing touch. Thank You, Lord, for Your direction. Thank You, Father, for Your guidance. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done. We thank You for salvation. We lift up our loved ones, Father, those who don't know You. We lift them up, Father, and ask, Lord, that You would draw them by Your Holy Spirit, as Your word tells us must happen for them to come to Jesus. They must be drawn by Your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, it is not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we lift them up and we pray. Pray for them, Father. We pray for our children. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our co-workers. We pray for our friends, Lord, for all of those that You put in our path. Father, that no matter what the circumstances are, we continue to be a light and a witness, Lord, but You draw them by Your Spirit. Father, we pray for salvation. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray, Father, for deliverance. We pray, Father, for sanctification. We pray, Father, for your purity and perfection to be poured into them, Lord, for an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. Your word says, in the latter days, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. Father, that Your Holy Spirit would be poured out in these latter days upon all flesh. That our sons and daughters would prophesy. Our young men would see visions. Our old men would dream dreams, Father. That You would be glorified in this land. That You would be glorified in this community, Father. In this state. In this nation, Father. In this world, Father. That outpouring of Your Spirit to touch and turn the hearts of people to seek Your face and to draw close to You, Father. To turn from their wicked ways. Lord, we, Your people, humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face and turn from our wicked ways, that You might hear from heaven, might forgive our sin, and might heal our land. Father, we need You. We need an outpouring of Your Spirit. And Lord, we give praise. Father, we give glory. We lift You up and exalt Your holy name. You alone are worthy of praise, Father. Oh Lord, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is steadfast upon Him, that He might show Himself strong on, You might show Yourself strong on their behalf, Father. Lord, You desire to give Your people good gifts. You desire, Father, to bring glory to Your name. You desire, Father, to show out, to show up. So, Father, we thank You, Lord. We give You free reign. We give You free opportunity, Lord, to just pour out Your Spirit. Lord, that hearts and lives be touched and be changed, Father. And Lord, that Your love flow through us. That Your love flow through us, Father, to touch the people You put in our path. For You've called us to be Your ambassadors. You've called us to be Your witnesses. You've called us to be salt and light to this generation. Salt and light to this community. Salt and light to these circles of friends, Father. Father, we praise You for it. And we give You thanks, Lord, knowing, Father, that You who began the good work are faithful to complete it. Hallelujah, Father. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.